be cynical about people who seem to have God in their back pocket. Let's talk about it on this edition of He Writes.
Hello, this is Mike Keller. And that was Steve Brown. Life isn't a dress rehearsal, and that's why this program, Key Life, is around. Honest, practical, and street-smart Bible teaching for the business of living.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Ezekiel as we continue with our Old Testament survey. As I told you yesterday, we have a booklet that will help you in this study. We're going to do three of them. And the first one is available now, and if you'll call us or write us, and I'll tell you how at the end of the broadcast, we'll send you that booklet that gives you the major themes and some of the basic facts you need to know about each of the Old Testament books. At any rate, we're up to the book of Ezekiel, and if you were listening yesterday, we started talking about the three reasons for God being ticked at the city of Jerusalem in Ezekiel. And we saw that the first one was unbelief, and we talked about that yesterday. And we saw that belief isn't something you turn on and off. It's something you have to go to God for, and God gives you as a gift. Now, it's not believing in spite of what you know is patently untrue. It's a reasonable faith. It's reasonable doctrine. It's reasonable truth. In fact, the only worldview that fits, but it's one thing to understand it with your head, to even accede to its intellectual propositions. It is quite another thing to make that come into your heart so you have faith and you believe, and that's a gift of God. And you got to ask Him. One of the reasons a lot of people don't believe, even though they pretend they do, is they think they got to work at it a little bit harder. Now, there is some initial work where you rationally look at the facts, balance them against other proposed facts. You check out the worldview with other worldviews. You see what fits and what doesn't fit, what's rational and what's not rational. You've got to do that kind of work. But beyond that, belief, real belief, faith, saving faith, and walking faith is a gift of God. Well, that's what I said yesterday in different words. Now, the second reason, in the book of Ezekiel, that God was angry with the people of Jerusalem and sent them into exile, is found in the 13th chapter, and it's listening to false prophets, to people who talk about God, but don't know what they're talking about. So, if you have a Bible, look at the first few verses of the 13th chapter of Ezekiel. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets. And you can parenthetically put preachers, and evangelists, and radio Bible teachers, and television teachers, and pastors, and elders, and leaders. Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy, and say to those who prophesy out of their own heart, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the desert. You have not gone up into the gaps to build a wall for the house of Israel to stand in the battle on the day of our Lord. They have envisioned futility and false divination, saying, Thus says the Lord God. But the Lord has not sent them, yet they hope that the word may be confirmed. Have you not seen a futile vision? Have you not spoken false divination? You say, the Lord says, but I have not spoken. I'll tell you, man, this is not a pleasant passage for anybody who teaches the Bible like me. James 3:1 says that if you teach the Bible, that you're in serious trouble if you aren't very careful, because it's going to be exacted from you. I mean, I kid around a lot, and you know that. But I want you to know, when I'm telling you the truths that come from Scripture, I'm going to stick to it, even if I don't believe it, though I do. I mean, I do not say what I think. And a lot of times, what I think, when I measure it by what God thinks and what He has revealed in the Bible, sometimes I've decided I think I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I remember early in my own ministry when I decided I was going to be a Bible teacher and had no idea what the Bible said. Now, that's hard to do, man. It's like being a surgeon and not knowing where the heart is if you're a heart surgeon. I'd been to seminary, don't get me wrong. I studied theology. I knew social ethics. I knew higher criticism. I didn't believe the Bible. I didn't think the canon ought to be closed. I figured, man, you could include some other authors in the Bible, and they would be just as inspired. And so I didn't spend much time in the Bible, and frankly didn't know what the Bible said. But then, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time telling you the story, but I came to a place in my life when I said, I don't have any authority, and I don't have anything to say, and I'm going into final repair. It's easier. Or I'm going to go do something else. This is crazy. I'm standing in this pulpit, and how presumptuous am I to talk about God? So it was a long process, and it was helped by a lot of brothers who were intellectuals. I just thought I was. Who cared enough to tell me the truth and to teach me, and I began to discover that the Bible was true. Whoa, it's really true. And so I decided I was going to teach it. I started in John and stayed three verses ahead of those dear people at First Presbyterian Church on the South Shore in Boston. I'll let you know, I'd read a verse and tell them what I thought it meant. I was a Bible teacher, but I only knew the particular verse that I was teaching at that time. And in that time, I learned this is truth. And if any of my truth is in conflict with that truth, then I'm going to junk my truth and I'm going to teach God's truth. There are places in the Bible I don't understand. There are places in the Bible when I sometimes say, God, I wish you hadn't said that. I mean, it really messes up my life. I mean, why can't everybody go to heaven? Why do you have to be so particular about this sort of thing? What's this stuff? I mean, there are things in the Bible I wish weren't there, but that's the truth. And you know why? I'm going to teach it. And you can count on it. And when you write me a letter and you say, Steve, I think you were wrong on this, let me tell you what I think the Bible says. There have been times when I've come on this broadcast and corrected what I said, especially if there was a thunderstorm going on outside our studios. You know why? Because of Ezekiel 13. Because I want to be faithful to what God says. You've got to be careful. You've got to be careful of anybody who talks too much about God. Check it out. Be careful of anybody who thinks they have a sovereign God in their back pocket. Be careful of any Bible teacher that can't say, I was wrong. Be careful of anybody who says, thus says the Lord. And then you look behind their back and their fingers are crossed. You can think about that. Amen. Well, maybe we'll say a little bit more about that tomorrow. As is our practice on Wednesdays, I'm going to spend some time answering some questions. My pastor, Pete, will be in. I wish my name were Pete when I was a pastor, so I could be called Pastor Pete. I think that's cool. My pastor is going to be in on Friday, and we're going to answer some questions, but I have 2 days some time on Wednesdays. Incidentally, you ought to check out our website. It's keylife.org, www.keylife.org. A lot of neat stuff to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ is your crowning achievement. And we're in the process right now. Tim, who's producing this program today, is in a little glass booth. And he's working on a web page and new links. And I mean, it's cool now, but it's going to be really good if they can get the computer. Man, I tell you, I believe the devil invented computers. We do everything on computers around here. We have three major computers, and two of them are broken right now. And Tim knows everything you can know about computers. And he said, well, sometimes they get allergies. At any rate, we're working on that web page, but it's really nice. You ought to go there. And listen, one other thing, whenever you write or call, be sure and give us the call letters of this great station. Hey, listen, when you have questions, write them down. Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, or Key Life, Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us a question with your regular mailing address to steve@keylife.org. All right, enough chit-chat. This is from a teenager who lives in Florida, the staff person wrote, would a human clone have a soul? Well, you need to know that there are certain places where the Bible does not address a subject in particular. If you had asked me, what does the Bible say about how to build a birdhouse, I would have to say it does not speak to that particular issue. But the Bible indirectly does speak to this particular issue. Now, I personally hope that human cloning doesn't take place. I mean, that scares me to death. I mean, we have taken the ethical, moral standards of our society and we've given them to weird people in back rooms and laboratories doing scary things. And we need to put a break on this. This is not cool. Clone a human being so you can use body parts? Does that sound ethical to you? If it does, you're a moral... I'm sorry. I kind of get off on this thing. I'm sorry, teenager in Florida. Let me say yes. If this should proceed and human beings should be cloned, that human being, because it would be a human being, it would be by a different process, it would be a human being, yes, would have a soul. And if this process proceeds, and I pray to God that it doesn't, but if it does, we had better say that a human clone has a soul, because we'll start using human clones. Oh, man, I just hate to think of it. Sometime we're going to sit down, and Pete and I are going to address medical and biological ethics needs to be done. Next is, three questions. The staff person said you may want to answer all three together, Ohio, North Carolina, in an email. First question, how does the right to bear arms conflict with being a Christian? From North Carolina, is war ever justified? And then an email, how does a person deal with a scripture that says, vengeance is mine, I will repay? Well, generally, you need to know that the Bible, I believe, and there are those who don't agree with me, but if you take the entirety of the whole counsel of God, I do not believe that the Bible teaches a pacifistic view of war. I believe there are just wars, and Aquinas and Augustine and a number of the church fathers have talked about a just war. Such things like it under a proper authority, that more good will come from it than evil, a la Hitler. I mean, what a scourge on the face of the earth. Somebody needed to do something. It was always in protection of the innocent that those who are not involved or combatants in the war would not be killed, if at all possible, etc., etc. With all of that being said, just war is sometimes just. And I'll tell you what I'll do. Next Wednesday, I'll address this a little bit more. I look at the clock. I'm already out of time. I don't know what happens to time. I'm having a good time. But I'm history, and I'm out of here. Listen, whenever you write or call, give us the call letters of this great station, and I'll talk about that next Wednesday. Gotta go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.